Gospel of John, chapter 9. As you're turning there, thanks for all of our friends who've come, brothers and sisters from other places, taking the time to come to be with us today. John chapter 9, and I'd like to look a little bit at the sovereignty of God in our life. This has struck me in the last probably 2 days or maybe three. So I was reading John chapter 9, and we'll begin at verse number 1. And we'll look in two other portions also. John chapter 9, verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Now let's go back to Genesis. And we're going to read a little bit about Joseph, but we won't linger there. But he ties in nice with this theme of the sovereignty of God. Genesis 45. And this is when Joseph is asking his brethren to come near unto him, and we'll just read verse number 5. Genesis 45, verse 5. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. And the final reading in the book of Esther. You think I could find Esther? It's in here somewhere.
Just before Job.
That's where I'm looking, and I can't get it. Anyway, it's going to be in chapter 4. Maybe stall a little bit here. Esther chapter 4, verse 14. And we're going to read, let's read it, verse 13. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, Think not thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? And the Lord will bless to us the reading of his word. I was thinking last week in the Gospel, in John chapter 9, about this blind man. Who hath sinned? This man or his parents? Why was this man born blind? The Lord Jesus said, neither his parents nor he had sinned, but that the works of God might be made manifest. And I got thinking about that. And I tried to put myself in his situation. And in situations really of all of us, because none of us are perfect, we've all got our weaknesses. We may not have a physical blindness or a physical deafness, but there's a way that all of us are unique. And if you're from Ontario, maybe we're weird. All right? There's a difference. All right? We're all different. But we're all different for a reason. For a reason. What is the reason? Why are you created the way you're created? Why are you made the way you're made? No doubt you've asked God sometime, even if as you were growing up, Lord, why am I like this? Why did you make me like this? We find the answer in John chapter 9. We're made this way that the works of God might be made manifest in us. That man was born blind, so that in due time, at the right time, the Lord Jesus would come, he would heal the man, God would be glorified. You think about that. That man lived with a great handicap for years, for the glory of God, and he didn't know it. He didn't know it. But then the time was right. God healed him. God used him. God took what was a deficiency in him. God took what was a handicap in him. And he took that and he used it for the glory of God. Not only there, but he's in the Holy Scriptures that are will never fail, will never perish, which will live forever. And a testimony is given in this man, in his life, how that God used him. I hope that's an encouragement to you today. All three of these are supposed to be an encouragement. That God is taking us the way He has made us. He's made us this way in His sovereignty. And God is taking what He has made and He is seeking to use it for His honor and glory. You say, well, how can that be? How can God use me? Dear brother, dear sister, God wants to use you and He will use you if you allow Him to use you. You see, sin here is the question. Who is sin? And you know, sometimes we think that as Christians we can live our life how we want to live it with no repercussions and no consequences because after all we're saved and we're happy we're going to be in heaven, but we're going to live the way we want to live. That's not the way it works. You see, if we sin and if we sin in disobedience, we can expect that we're going to go through trial and difficulty because the Lord chastens whom He loves. So we live our life in disobedience. We can't expect the blessing of God upon us. We can't expect God to use us. We can expect the chastening of God when we live in disobedience. When we live our life in bitterness, we can't hardly expect God to bless us, can we? Because we're so full of anger and bitterness and sorrow and hatred inside that there's nothing really in there that God can use. And so we can disqualify ourselves from the service and the work of God and from the blessing of God by our disobedience, by our bitterness, by our selfishness. Our selfishness. Living for self. We all struggle with that, don't we? We do what we want to do. We live for self. And we hinder, in a measure, God's blessing for us. And so oftentimes God has to chasten us. And sometimes I'd add a fourth one, disobedience, bitterness, selfishness. How about slothfulness? I was called a sloth this morning. It was kind of funny. It's a long story. I was going to go to fill Mom and Dad's boiler in the morning. I always throw a big chunk in for them. But Dad had beat me and thrown some little ones in. And Mom texted me, too late, you're a sloth. That's all right. But by our slothfulness, by our laziness, not willing to let God use us. So who had sinned, this man or his parents? The Lord says, no, this isn't a matter of sin. This isn't a matter of chastisement. This isn't a matter of punishment. This is a matter of the sovereignty of God working in a person's life for His honor and for His glory. So I want you to take heart today. Maybe you found yourself born with a timid spirit. Afraid to visit and talk to people. That's all right. God made you that way. And God will use you how He made you, physically speaking. Sometimes if, you know, you look around and you say, man, if I could only teach like Norman Crawford, or if I could only preach the gospel like McCandless, and we start comparing ourselves with other people, you know what happens? Well, I can't be like that, so I'm not going to do anything. God will use you how He made you. Be yourself. Be yourself. So that's what we learn in John in chapter 9. There's more there that we can learn, but I want to go quickly here and leave plenty of time for another. We come to Genesis in 45. And what we find there is Joseph. And we didn't read in chapter 50, but we'll just reference it. He says this, now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. You ever been angry with yourself? Here's a man in John, he's born blind. He's not angry with himself. He's disappointed the way he is. He doesn't like the way he is. But it wasn't an act or a fault of his own. Now you come to Genesis and Joseph is saying to his brothers, be not angry with yourselves. Now there's not one of us here that shouldn't have been angry with ourselves if we'd have sold our brother. When the guilt and the remorse would set in, we realized what we had done. And here we had sold our brother that really had done nothing wrong. He was an obedient son. He was right in what he said. And we sold him anyway. And they hated him without a cause. And that'll probably get brought into this afternoon. And I don't want to go there. But Joseph says this. Do not be grieved or angry with yourself. How do you handle it when you sin? How do you handle it when you're confronted with your sin? You hate yourself for doing what you did? Don't we? We do. We ought to. For a little while. What's he telling them? God sent him before to preserve life. Here's an attitude of the one that was betrayed. He understood it, but at this time, he didn't understand it the whole way, I'm convinced, as he's sitting in prison, as all the trials come upon Joseph. But God meant it for good. God meant it for good. So now what has happened here? These brothers' sin has been exposed to the one that they sinned against. And what's he telling them? He's telling them, go on. Go on. You can't be bitter and angry with yourself. You can't be grieved and you're angry with yourself. The sin has been opened up. The sin has been made known. It's been dealt with. He's forgiven them, isn't he? Go on. But you know what we see? And you'll see it in your heart and I'll see it in mine. When I sin, I feel that I'm unworthy to do anything. And we're not worthy. And we're bitter and we're angry at ourselves. And we curl up in our little ball and we want to go into our little den and we're not going to come out. And maybe it's been to the point where maybe we've had to be disciplined out of an assembly. And we just want to hide and have shame and embarrassment and angry with ourselves. Joseph says, don't be grieved or angry with yourself. If you've learned your lesson, go on. Because none of us are worthy. None of us are worthy. So here we're not happy in John 9 because of the way we're born. And now we're not happy because of the way we've acted. And if you're Joseph, you certainly shouldn't have been happy by that he was betrayed. He was betrayed, but he'd come to grips with it. He was happy for it. Why? Because he could see the hand of God moving in the whole thing, looking back. Brethren, endure what we're doing with, but look back and see the hand of God. And when you see the hand of God, you can be like Joseph. And you can rejoice that God's hand was in it. And you come to chapter 50, he says this to his brethren, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. God meant it for good. And so, the sovereignty of God and a betrayal. Some of us have been betrayed. And how do we find the goodness of God in that? We've done nothing wrong. Joseph did nothing wrong. But we were betrayed. And we suffered for it. But here we're learning we can look back and we can see the hand of God in it. So, just a little word of encouragement. Then we come to Esther. The hidden book of Esther. Chapter 14. What do we have here? We've got Esther. Now, she's associated by blood to the Jews, isn't she? She's a Jew. You know, sometimes Christians go through difficulties because of our relationship, because we're Christians. That's why we go through trial, isn't it, oftentimes? The persecution and the suffering is because of who we are. Am I just looking at a Christian this morning, and maybe you're in the point in your Christian experience when the persecution and the trials of life are such that you just sometimes maybe doubt the blessing of being saved, being a Christian? Does that ever happen? Absolutely, that happens. You know, sometimes you wonder if the devil doesn't try to always make it happen. This business of being a Christian isn't all that fun. This business of being a Christian isn't all rosy. And discouragement sets in. And trial and difficulties are real. And here's Esther. She's the queen. She's in the king's palace. But her people are going to be destroyed. I don't know what you look at when you look around at it when you come to meeting. I hope everybody comes to meeting at every meeting, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday morning, and every special meeting in between. When you come to meeting, what do you see your brothers and sisters? What do you see? What do you see? Do you see the Lord's heritage? Do you see the Lord's people? Well, let's be honest. Usually when we come to a meeting, we say, well, I got an issue with that one and an issue with that one and that one. What struck me as I compared these scriptures was the words of Mordecai. What did he say? He says, think not thyself that thou shalt escape. He's telling Esther, he says, look, you're in the king's palace, but you're a Jew. And you're no better off than we are. And you know, sometimes we get pretty high-minded. Sometimes we might think we're the queen. Or we might think we're the king. Don't we? We get there. Mordecai says, look, if this thing goes through, you're not going to escape either. You're not going to escape either. And then he says, if you all together hold your peace, if you don't say anything, Esther, at this time, deliverance will arise to the Jews from another place. I love the faith of Mordecai on the promises of God. He knew God's people would flourish. The promises of God will never fail. And so he's saying, look, Esther, you've got an opportunity to say something. You've got an opportunity to do something. And it could be, Esther, that the reason that you're in the where you are and the position you are in your life right now, it might be just for you to take an opportunity for the people of God and to rest in the promises of God. The sovereignty of God to put that woman where she was. Marvelous. Marvelous. And so what does this woman do? You know, it wasn't lawful for her to enter into the king without being summoned. But you know what she said? If I perish, I perish. If I perish, I perish. How long has it been, dear Christian, since in your soul, in the fire of your soul, in the things of the things of God, and for the things of God's people, that would be the cry of your heart? God put me in this situation, and I'm going to do what I can do. And if I die, I die. I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to do it anyway. You think she was calm about it? You think she was at peace about it? She says to Mordecai, have everybody fast for 3 days, and I will too. I've been trying to diet this week. You know how hard it is to go without food? For 3 days? You know what a fast proves? How real it is to you. How serious this is. And she says, have all the Jews fast. Brethren, we're taking Christianity lightly. We're taking assembly testimony life lightly. It doesn't mean anything to us. If I can say that in a kind way, I can't. How do I know? Because it costs us nothing. Maybe I'm just speaking to myself. But what has Christianity cost you this week? If I perish, I perish. Oh, that's just a once-in-a-lifetime idea, isn't it? It's a daily thing. It's a daily thing. I die daily, Paul says. To the sovereignty of God in the way that we're born. The sovereignty of God when we're betrayed. And the sovereignty of God for the things of God by blood. And what I mean by that is this. We're all in the same family, bought with the precious blood of Christ. And I think of Esther there. And the hearts that she had for her people. And the heart that she had for the testimony of her God. And the faith that she